you know, the life of a modern Egyptian woman. I just put everything that happens to me, all my personal experiences, in my work.
Ist das Kunst? Oder kann das weg?
Hello, everybody. My podcast in, roughly translated my podcast in English would be something like, is it art or not? A little bit more funny in German, but today we have our conversation in English because I have an international guest. Hello, Lina Osama.
Hello, Jasmine. Thank you very much for your invitation.
I'm very glad that you are here and you're going to tell us a little bit about your life and your work.
Yes, with pleasure. So my name is Lina Osama. I'm a painter. I come from Egypt and I'm a figurative artist. I use mixed media. I'm also a mother of two. And I studied in Salzburg in Austria.
Oh, wow. How did you get there?
So it's very interesting. In 2006, I came to Salzburg International Summer Academy. In the meantime, I was studying in Cairo at the Faculty of Fine Arts, classic painting. And I came here and I think my studies in Austria shaped my work a lot.
Okay.
So I studied between 2006 and 2009 in the summers at summer schools between Salzburg and Traunkirchen with Xenia Hausner.
Mm, one of my favorite artists.
Yes, mine as well.
Yeah, I think she is great.
I think she is a role model on many levels.
Yeah.
Of course, as a professional painter and as a woman artist too.
Yeah. Well, I have never met her personally, so.
She's wonderful. She is a very strong personality.
Yeah.
And she's very giving as well. I mean, I learned so much from her. She was very kind. She gave me a scholarship to study at her own academy, Traunkirchen, and for the following year in Salzburg Academy with Dirk Schmidt.
Oh, wow.
Which was also very interesting for me.
Super.
Thank you.
And yeah, so you said now the education that you did in Austria, but you were from Egypt, and did you grow up there?
Yes, I grew up in Egypt. Mm-hmm. I went to England for a little bit with my parents, just 2 years in the middle of my childhood. And so I always loved Austrian painting, even before I came. I was very much inspired by the paintings of the Expressionists, the work in between the First World War and the Second World War. And I saw their paintings as very rebellious, the bright colors. I remember I opened one book once and I saw these paintings with pink and orange next to each other. And this is not how you study academic art. So I loved the combination. I loved the power. And of course, the strong humanitarian charge in works like Egon Schiele's, Klimt's, Kokoschka's. So then when I had the opportunity to come to Austria, it was an amazing chance for me.
Wow, I'm so proud.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of Austria.
Of being an Austrian.
You said so many great things, and I'm I'm always a little bit surprised about how some things from Austria are so well known.
Yes, of course. I mean, in arts and music, you cannot talk about art history or music history without mentioning Austria.
But your work is very much influenced by Egyptian culture.
Yes, that's true.
So tell us a little bit about this.
It's true. So, you know, I went to England for just 2 years, but I think they helped shape who I am very much because as a child in the early 90s, when you would travel from Cairo to Europe, it's a very big change in the lifestyle. There's no internet. There's no online communication. So it's like going to another world. And for me, I remember I was in the classroom. I was the only Egyptian. And then I just feel, you know, out of place. And then suddenly the teacher starts talking about Tutankhamun. And I'm like, okay, that's me. I'm here. And then I realized that this is where what makes us unique. It's really our true identity. It's all traced back to ancient Egypt. It really explains who we are and what makes our country special. And I fell in love with Egyptology. And then I studied because I really like to take things seriously. So after I finished my college education, which all, of course included art history and ancient Egyptian art, I went and studied Egyptology for 2 years at the Higher Authorities of Antiquities in Cairo. And because I want to paint about ancient Egypt, I'm very much inspired by the icons. And when I make a painting, I want to understand the symbols. I don't just want to take it on a visual aesthetic level. I really want to go into the philosophy. So in 2008, I was here studying in Austria and I went to Munich. I saw the, you know, the touring exhibition for Tutankhamun and everything from his tomb. And I was so amazed to see so many symbols from contemporary Egyptian folklore, contemporary Egyptian heritage. And I was so surprised to understand that a lot of our culture, like very deep culture, Egyptian and even regional, comes directly from ancient Egypt. All the folk stories, all the songs, everything. And this is when I decided I would study Egyptology.
Wow, so interesting.
Thank you.
First of all, I really love your paintings.
Thank you so much. I love your work.
Thank you. And I find very interesting that you combine so vivid colors with old symbols, ancient symbols. How can I say this? How accurate are your the symbols that you use? Do you like really try to find that they look exactly like they should, or do you imagine a lot, or how do you do this?
Actually, it's very interesting because this describes the core of my art practice. So all my paintings, they blend together ancient Egyptian or historical themes, sometimes Greek. And at the same time, they bring in personal situations, contemporary lifestyle, you know, the life of a modern Egyptian woman. I just put everything that happens to me, all my personal experiences in my work. So it's really interesting because if I paint something that's modern, or I Egyptianize it. And if I paint something from ancient Egypt, I do it
in my own way.
Exactly. I do it in my own way.
Yeah.
So it's like a bridge.
I find this really interesting. And I wonder, who are the your collectors? Are these just people from Egypt or from all over the world?
Well, actually, I have some very, very nice collectors from Egypt. But the majority of my work gets sold to people from outside the country. Because it's very interesting when your work really represents your country and represents your region. So it also has an appeal to anybody who's interested in that particular culture.
Yes, I can imagine because, well, very many people are fascinated by ancient Egypt culture. And
I have my work in several museums. Like the Amazigh Heritage Museum in Morocco, St. Mark Taper Foundation in Los Angeles in America, several museums worldwide, and of course in Egypt. I also must tell you, my favorite collectors are people who just want to buy a painting to put in their own home. And I'm also honored to have my work in large collections because I think the collector is a very important ring in the art circle, in the art scene, in the art market. I think it's an important force. And when we have intellectual, art-loving collectors who really want to build a story, who are very much interested in the artist's perspective, not just to gather, you know, signatures, I think they play a huge role in the dynamics of the art scene. So I'm very grateful to have my work in collectors for famous people who love to collect art.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
And how about your day-to-day life? You have a studio in Egypt?
Yes, I have a studio. And I have two children. So basically my day is divided between my family and my work. I send them off. I have a 10-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy. So I send them off to school and nursery. And then I have a good like 5 hours of painting.
Almost the same with me.
Exactly. Yes.
We have almost the same work schedule.
It's a universal phenomenon. Yes. And then they come back and they know you have to do a lot of other things. The rest of the day I divide it between, you know, the house things and also, because usually, you know, as an artist, as a contemporary artist, you don't just do the painting. You also have to do some other work around it, like, you know, some stuff online, some
openings and events.
Exactly. Because also I curate shows. So that takes up part of the time as well.
You curate shows, in museums in Egypt or?
Yes. I mean, I have an initiative called Living Units. It's an international visual art initiative. I founded it in 2016. Of course, I have to work on it from time to time because my art is my main practice. My main identity is a painter. But I find it very interesting, you know, every 2 years perhaps to curate a show and put my work among other artists whom I really appreciate. And I think sometimes a group show is also just as important as a solo show. Sometimes you find artists whose work complement your own, and then it's like a full sentence. You know?
Yeah, that's really nice.
Thank you.
And yeah, so you feel very happy with your work, and what would you? What do you still wish for? What would you like to happen in the future?
I still wish for a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I think this is why anybody makes art, because it makes you happy. It's the main purpose. I always think, how do people who don't make art survive? Because, you know, I find it a very urgent need to paint. And of course, I think one of my aims is to represent myself, my ideas, and also my country worldwide. Because also on an intellectual, political level, it's very important to break down stereotypes. Because I completely believe that racism is not a result of hatred. I think, on the contrary, I think it's a result of ignorance. Sometimes a piece of work can change somebody's perspective, somebody's idea or judgment on a whole region, perhaps, or a whole country.
Wow, that's interesting. So your work has many, many levels.
Yes, yes, exactly. And also on the technical scope, it has many levels. So I work mixed media. I can do I have oil paintings and acrylic paintings, but I also very much like to do mixed media work with collage, with different materials. And I think it's taken me a lot of years of study to really master this, because you have to have a very good understanding of the chemical properties and the physical properties of the material, so that when you blend together the media that you use, it doesn't fall apart after years. You know?
Yes, you always learn a lot about the material as well.
Yes.
And I think sometimes the material also influences the subject a little bit.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
That's why I also like to use different materials from time to time, because otherwise you get a little bit stuck in always doing the same
things. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And I learned that your husband is also a painter.
Yes.
So you have an interesting household, no?
Yes, very interesting. My 10-year-old daughter is also exhibiting her work.
Ah, yeah.
So, yeah, too many artists in one house.
Wow.
Yes. So Mahani is an abstract painter. And it's really interesting because he has a very different background. He was born in an oasis, in Dakhla Oasis. It's in the eastern desert in Egypt. And he had a very simple upbringing, desert life among nature. And then he went to the Faculty of Fine Arts, and now he's a professor at the university. So he comes from a very different way of thinking. And, you know, to take this background and become an abstract painter, I think abstraction is one of the most contemporary forms of art. So it's a long way. It's a journey. And I think he had to pass through realistic painting and classic work and then, to dissect it and cut it down into abstraction. His work has very bright colors, mostly described as African work because they're very close to the borders between Egypt and Sudan. And it's amazing, you know, because we have very different styles. And I think that's not really the norm between artistic households. So usually when you have an artist couple or brother and sister or something like that, their work is similar, but we have very different artwork. So
yeah, but I saw them hanging together on the same wall a couple of days ago.
Yes.
And I think they are, yes, they are very different, your work and his, but they match.
Yes, there is a dialogue.
So maybe,
there is
maybe
a dialogue,
like your relationship, you know? When people say that you are different.
Yeah, we're using the same brushes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's the reason.
Ah, okay. No, and it also, you have very vivid colors and he does as well.
Yes, that's true. But there is a slight difference because I use earth colors mostly. So I use very strong colors, but they all come from the Egyptian landscape. You will find the blue of the Nile, you will find browns, you know, for the soil, you will find greens, yellows for the sun. It's basically like if you go into an ancient Egyptian tomb. With Mahani, I think it's a bit different because the colors are his language. So you find, I think, a bigger variety of a palette.
Ah, okay. Yeah. About your colors and your paintings, I liked very much that they are very joyful, I think.
Thank you. Yes, yes. I think, you know, this is something I picked up when I studied with Xenia, because I think a painting has to be aesthetically enjoyable. It can be painful, it can be grotesque, it can be aggressive, you know, with the concept, with what you're painting, but it has to give pleasure to the eye. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Really good.
Thank you.
We might talk a little bit more about your work. Do you work daily on your painting? Or?
Yes, I do work daily, even if I don't feel very inspired.
Yeah.
Yes, because, you know, as a mother, you learn time management. So I just go to the studio and I start working. Preparing the work, working on the background until I catch up. Because I think when you sit in front of a painting, it takes a little bit of time to really connect with it, to really see the whole painting. You have to just focus, you know, get yourself cut away from reality a little bit and sit in front of the work. And I think after 1 or 2 hours, you can really consider yourself in a good place to work, like your concentration and...
I know this feeling sometimes before I start working, and let's say in the mornings, you must know it, there's so much going on.
Yes.
And then until you have one kid in school and one kid in kindergarten and breakfast and everything. And then when you come to work, sometimes before I start to work, I think, can I still do it? I think I already forgot how to.
Am I still here? Yes.
And then, like you said, after some time, you settle in a little bit.
Yes, exactly.
And you feel, yeah.
You put on
That's
your
it.
Music.
Yes.
You drink some coffee and you get back to who you are.
So that's something that we have in common.
Yes,
and
we
also
do.
I realized, that maybe I'm very fascinated by your paintings because I'm also very fascinated by ancient symbols. I use them in some of my paintings and like rock drawings or cave drawings that I find really inspiring. I didn't do Egyptian symbols
you
yet.
You should.
But maybe
I will one day. Yes.
Because I find it also very fascinating. And I like it that when you put symbols like this in your work, that you give them this layer of something that happened so long ago.
Yes.
And you connect with this time.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because, you know, I just let, I work in this way that, I let the mind flow. Mm-hmm. You know, this is it's a phrase that was put together by Virginia Woolf. So I let the brain flow. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of preparation before I go into the painting. So mm-hmm. I can travel, especially to make an artwork. I can read. I can really get inspired by something. But once I sit to work, I don't really control what's happening. I don't have a plan. I just put all the materials in front of me and I let my brain, I let my spirit just guide me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't have a pre-drawing.
No, I think
you work directly with the paint.
I work directly on the surface,
mm-hmm.
and I don't do sketches. So I have small paintings and I have big paintings. The small paintings end up taking the role of like a mental map or a mm-hmm. practice, but at the end of the day, they have their own emotional charge. Because mm-hmm. I think if I do a sketch and then I go to paint, the sketch ends up being more powerful because it gets all the fresh emotions out. Mm-hmm. My work is also very much inspired by my life experience. So motherhood is very present in my paintings.
Yeah. I love this very much about the one painting.
Thank you. Thank you.
The baby.
With the baby. Yes. Actually, it goes on both levels because I think it's one of the most important themes in art history. The mother and the baby. From mm-hmm. ancient Egypt, you have Isis and Horus. And then Christianity, you have Mary and Christ. And I think it's the main theme of humanity, you know.
Yes, mothers.
No one doesn't have a mother, you know. How could you come to Earth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like this very much. And of course, it also speaks to every mother.
It speaks to every mother, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean, I also connected with your work for this reason, because I think mothers are a symbol of nature.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see your beautiful portrait with the face of a woman and plants and trees and flowers, I think it's very interesting to see things that way, because it's all about nurturing, it's all about giving, and it raises awareness on both the importance mm-hmm. of women and also the importance of nature, mm-hmm. which I think people, both men and women, should reconsider, you know.
And some things are just so universal, like
yes,
nature,
definitely,
everybody is affected, or everybody is in connection with nature, and or family, things like this.
Yeah.
And this is why I also think that with some symbols we will always connect, like the ancient Egypt symbols
exactly.
that have survived for such a long time, because there must be something universal in it.
Yes, you know, you were talking about ancient art and primitive art,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's the most sincere kind of art.
Mm-hmm.
So with all due respect to contemporary art and all the masters who paved the way for us to do what we do today,
yeah.
I think any artist should also dive into that world, because mm-hmm. it's very sincere, it's very real. You know, ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs, the language.
Yes.
If you think about it a little bit, every letter has a sound and the shape mm-hmm. that are very connected in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's the bird, and this is the sound it makes, and this is how we draw it. So it's just, it's the purest form of expression.
Mm-hmm. So we talked a lot about your inspiration and your work, and how about your marketing? Because every artist also has to somehow make
yes.
sales or whatever.
Yes, of course.
And how do you do it?
Well, first, I think the excuse me. I think the most important rule is mutual respect and mutual trust.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand that the gallery cannot exist without the artist, and the artist cannot exist without the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you have to work hard. You have to do some communication, because sometimes your nature as an artist is a little bit introvert. You want to, you're an introvert. You want to go into your world. But then I put some effort to go out and communicate. I think it's very, very important. At this point, it gets easy. You know, you kind of know what you're doing because I've been exhibiting since a very young age. So I have 25 years of participations and maybe 140 shows.
You started right away as an artist. You did not take any other route before
No, I didn't. I mean, I was very lucky because to start young, you know, I had to have a lot of support from my family. They really believed in art. And then I had my first solo show when I was 13. So I think it comes with practice. You know, you have to work, you have to meet people. And then basically, I mean, I speak for Egypt. Our exhibitions are divided into two different categories. We have the public shows, the governmental shows, the Ministry of Culture and so on. And we have the private shows. So they are two different art scenes. They intertwine sometimes. But I think for professional artists, if you take it as a job and you think it's very important, you have to have, you know, one leg in this and one leg in that. So basically, for the private shows, you know, you try to work with the best gallery you can reach because, you know, there's small galleries, there's middle-sized galleries, and there's big galleries. I think the more professional, the better practice makes a gallery like a big name with more important artists, bigger names and more clients and like a nice audience. So I try to do a solo show in one of the galleries I respect, maybe every year, every 2 years, something like that. Not necessarily every year. At the same time, there is always interesting group shows to participate in. And it's always a pleasure. You know, sometimes I put my work in a show where I'm honored to be with perhaps older artists or bigger names. And at this point, sometimes I also participate in a show with younger curators, younger artists. And it's really nice because, you know, I received a lot of support, a lot of guidance from the artists that came before me. So now I'm very happy to sometimes do the same for the next generation of artists. Then you have, of course, we have a very strong art scene in Cairo. So we have a national exhibition every year with that supposedly represents all the practicing artists who did important shows that year. They can reach up to 300 artists. It's a big show. We have the Cairo Biennale, we have Alexandria Biennale, and a lot of, and perhaps a graphic Triennale. So there's always these really big shows. And at the same time, we have about 50 galleries that are under the umbrella of the Ministry of Culture and other entities like the Alexandria Library. We have a group of amazing old houses, mansions from the 18th century, from the 19th century. And we have, of course, we have lots of museums in Cairo, and many of the museums would have, you know, a space for contemporary art exhibitions. So this is basically the anatomy of the art scene in Cairo.
Wow, super interesting.
Thank you.
Well, what you said about working with galleries, I try to go a little bit a different way. So far, I did not work a lot with galleries. Actually, I did not really work with galleries at all. But I try to have my, as you can see here, we are sitting today in my studio, which is also a gallery. And so I try to do the marketing aspect by myself, which I find interesting that we now have the chance with things like Instagram and, well, the internet to publish our own things and to bring them out in the world. So do you also have,
yes,
I also saw when you have your Instagram page and you can also use this.
I completely believe in this. This is very, very important. And I think it is the biggest, advantage of social media and our contemporary way of life. I've met some amazing people online through Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, me too.
And I was very keen on developing a nice art studio.
Mm-hmm.
So at first I had my art studio in the middle of the house,
mm-hmm.
like a big hole in the middle. And then I found this not so practical because, you know, you want privacy for the home. You want a professional atmosphere for your meetings. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the materials, it's not so healthy to have them around the household with the mm-hmm. children. So then I moved to another district just mm-hmm. to have a different kind of setting. And then I had like two smaller spaces, but they are divided, you know, in two. So it's like mm-hmm. I cut up my space into two. And I'm always keen on developing my art studio because I think it's the natural habitat for an artist.
Yeah.
You know, it really should reflect who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I've had amazing studio visits over the years. And if I'm being honest with you, maybe 50% of my sales happen in the studio. Mm-hmm. on a personal level. So it's very important for me.
Mm-hmm. So you also do a lot of self-marketing.
Yes, I think mm-hmm. I think it's very important for contemporary artists. It's a privilege. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of hard work you have to learn.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't always work out well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's definitely a bonus for our times.
I think it's also a big advantage for the collectors.
Yes.
Or the buyers.
Yes,
because they... Yeah, they meet you personally.
Yes.
They see your space.
Uh-huh.
And this is part of the work.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you also have to give credit to the gallery who promotes you.
Yes.
Because oftentimes people know you through the gallery and then they want to go to your studio.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very conscientious about this.
Yes.
And I think if you're being honest on all the levels, it's for your own benefit as well as it's an advantage for the gallery.
Yeah.
So oftentimes I can invite the gallery people to the studio mm-hmm. or make a connection
mm-hmm.
because my studio is close to the galleries I work with. So sometimes I can take the collectors over to the gallery to see the rest of my work there or see other artists. I think we should all help each other. It's not an easy profession. It's not an easy mm-hmm. community. So we should really support each other. So I was paid back to the gallery with gratitude and the connections I can make. And then, of course, you know, you have people coming to our studio on a personal level. They know you through personal connections or they dig you up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think if it works like this with the cooperation with artists and galleries, then...
Just a little integrity and everything is nice.
Yeah, everything is good.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you face some challenges in your work so far?
Of course.
What have been your biggest
You faced
troubles?
Many challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's an easy path to take.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the traditional job, and I don't think it will ever be. It's different.
Yes.
You're not always understood, and you're not always successful. I have very successful years. And I have times that just, you know, things don't click. And you have to keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you have to protect yourself from arrogance.
Yeah.
So you can't let the material world affect you.
Mm-hmm.
If you do a big show and everything is amazing, if you become arrogant, it will harm your work. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's less true. And then if you have some times where things just don't work out, you can't let it break you because
mm-hmm.
you have to keep going. And I heard this beautiful sentence that an artist's duty is to believe. So you have to keep believing.
True.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that as a woman, you have to face some additional problems sometimes being a female artist. So how is this situation in Egypt? I know from here in Austria that I face sometimes problems because I'm a woman in my business. So how did you experience this so
yes,
far?
Yes, of course. I mean, you have to be more understanding and think of a way out of this trap. I think the first thing that you face is stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really understand the gallery's point of view or whoever you're working with, because sometimes they find it a little bit hard to trust you because they think maybe if you have children or you have a baby, you're too busy or it will be your first priority. So it takes a little time and persistence. And then, you know, you can break up the stereotype a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very hardworking throughout the years I was having babies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't stop my work. And I completely understand that everybody has their own way.
Mm-hmm.
I really respect the mothers who take some time off. But for me, that's how it worked. So I had a very big solo show when I was 3 months pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. It was 50 paintings. And it was one of the most successful shows I did. Then when I was 8 months pregnant, I was invited to have a solo show at the Museum of Egyptian Modern Art.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful opportunity. It was a childhood dream come true. And I said, yes, I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because I went there, you know, like a big blob. I was 8 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I spent half the time in the bathroom. But it happened, you know, and you put it together. It works. And it was a very nice show. I think it made a very special memory for me. I will never forget mm-hmm. this exhibition.
Yeah, I was... just thinking that if we talk about the challenges, we should also talk about the big advantages that we might have because we're women and because we have kids. For me, for example, I think that I see actually my kids as the reason I do all of this, because
yes.
I used to be a graphic designer, because before I didn't really believe that being an artist was like a possibility for me. And then all of it happened actually because I had my kids and because I was out of this advertising agency environment for some time. And then, and also because of the kids, I really valued my time so much that if I didn't spend it with them, I wanted to do something that is also fun.
Yes.
So, I think my career is actually because of them. And so I think that having kids, of course, can also give you so much.
Yes, definitely. It makes you more brave. It teaches you time management. It gives you a motive. And I think this humanitarian experience, this really deep experience, it affects your work. Also, I think challenges are very important for an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read the life stories of all the important artists, both men and women,
yeah.
you know, the big challenges they face, the big problems they have, they really make their art better somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That's good to hear.
Thank you so much.
So I'm really happy that we met and
thank you.
You had some time here in Vienna.
I had a pleasure, and your studio is one of my favorite spots to come to Vienna. You know, I saw it a couple of days ago from the outside and I could not wait to come in.
Wow,
and now
so,
I feel
you.
So privileged to be sitting here with you and talking about all our connections and our similar experiences. It's a small world, really.
Yeah. And I hope that we will meet again someday.
Yes,
wherever.
I wait for you in Cairo.
Wow, this yes. I have never been, so I would.
You have
would
to
love that.
You have to.
Okay, thank you very much for the talk today.
Thank you so much.